Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Donna Paige Riley, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. It's Sunday, October 12, 2008, and we are broadcasting from the beautiful city of Atlanta. It has been a beautiful fall day here, and I hope the same for you wherever you're listening. Now, today's topic is taking a look at etiquette from a spiritual perspective. Now, we will have a very special guest joining us this evening to help us discuss this, whom I'll introduce shortly. Now, right now, I want to go ahead and invite you to call in with your comments. The call-in number is area code 347-324-3295. Once again, 347-324-3295. Or if you prefer, please feel free to send your email to info@pagesetiquette.com. Once again, that is info@pagesetiquette.com. Now, I am the owner of Pages Etiquette Seminars, which is a company specializing in both personal and professional development training. Now, we offer exciting sessions for all ages. And I'm also the author of What is Etiquette Anyway?, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. And that book, some of the chapters in that particular book for children includes common courtesies, posture and poise, table manners, all those wonderful things that help make our children well-rounded. Now, I'm also the author of What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key Ingredients for Building Successful Working Relationships. And just a few of those chapter titles is Business Over Lunch. It covers networking, executive dress. If you're planning to do business overseas, it's just a wonderful professional development piece for you. And, of course, they are available on our website as well as any other affirmations and a variety of different products at www.pagesetiquette.com. Now, for the new listeners, I always like to talk just a moment about the origin of etiquette. Now, etiquette is simply a set of rules of behavior. By using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. And, of course, the word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England actually copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and of course, these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So that's just a little key to the reason that the word is pronounced the way it is, although it's spelled E-T-I-Q-U-E-T-T-E. The Q actually adapts the K sound since it comes from a French word meaning ticket, so it's etiquette. Okay? Now, I'd like to bring on our co-host this evening. Denise, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody. I am doing well today. And Donna, how are you?
Oh, I am doing well, and I am so excited about our topic this evening.
I am even more excited about our guest on the show. He was absolutely wonderful the last time we had him on.
He certainly was. And, of course, once again, everyone out there, we are looking at etiquette from a spiritual perspective. Now, Denise, I bet some people are out there wondering, what does the word or scriptures have to do with etiquette? What's the connection? And, of course, the listeners that usually listen to us know that we remind you weekly that the first rule of etiquette is the golden rule.
Right.
And, of course, the show, What is Etiquette Anyway?, and the book series are all based on the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, or just simply treat others the way you want to be treated. And I know most people, Denise, most of us learned the golden rule when we were in Sunday school or when we were small.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly still applies, you know, at this point. And, of course, it comes again from Matthew 7:12. Now, at this time, I'd like to welcome our special guest, Reverend Stanley Crawford. Now, he, as you mentioned, Denise, he was on our show several months ago when we discussed and did a series titled, Whose Job Is It to Teach Children Manners?
Mm-hmm.
And we all concluded with him that, you know, it is the entire community, and which includes the home, the school, and the church. And Reverend Crawford, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much, and thank you for being a guest again on our show. We, the last time that you were with us, we had a very favorable response, and people, I'm sure that they are very excited now knowing that you are going to be a guest with us again. And if you wouldn't mind, if you would just, you know, tell the listening audience, I'm sure that we have new listeners from when you were with us before, but if you wouldn't mind just, you know, sharing with them just something about yourself.
Well, first of all, I'm an ordained minister. I have been a former senior pastor serving a church in Charlotte, North Carolina for about 18 and a half years. I now serve as Minister of Christian Education at Ray of Hope Christian Church in Decatur, Georgia, where I have the honor of serving under the Reverend Dr. Cynthia L. Hale. Also, I have the responsibility of overseeing our ministry to children from the ages of 0 up through 12. And we have a nursery as well as a children's ministry called Children's Church. And for the ages 5 to 12, we have terrific Tuesday Witness and Workout, where we meet the needs of kids spiritually as well as physically, so that they might interact with each other and also get some physical activity in order to combat childhood obesity. So I have quite a lot of things I'm involved in, as well as mentoring seminary students as well.
Wow. Wow. Sounds wonderful. Well, I'm sure that a lot of people, as I had mentioned before, are wondering, what is the connection? Why and how do we make the connection between etiquette and looking at etiquette from a spiritual perspective? Just to give someone just a little, I guess, a basic answer, and then we'll get a little more specific because I have gotten emails, actually, I would like for us to address. But a lot of people are just a little confused, or they may not be very clear about why we are even, you know, discussing this.
Well, for one thing, you started off by sharing what the golden rule is, and that is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the golden rule for every particular area of society, and it's biblical in terms of context that you gave it from Matthew, St. Matthew, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, but also it's the way we would like to be treated personally and collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritually speaking, there are very distinct passages of the Scripture that speak to how we ought to deal with persons in certain age groups or brackets, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
that tells us exactly how we ought to respond and respect others. And that goes back to the rules that you spoke about, how to conduct ourselves. And spiritually, you have to have a foundation, and that foundation should come from a set of rules.
Mm-hmm.
For the Christian, it's the Bible. For the Muslim, it's the Quran. And for the others, they have a special set of rules and guidelines that they go by. But we believe that everyone has rules, even in society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's against the law to cry fire in a crowded theater.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to put people into a panic stage. But in terms of etiquette, the proper behavior, proper actions, and proper speech to those who are not ourselves, we don't like to mistreat ourselves, so we wouldn't want anyone else to mistreat us.
Mm-hmm.
So etiquette is a very fundamental principle that we ought to live by as well as teach our kids.
certainly. And I'm glad you mentioned some of the other faiths, because if, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there listening that are not necessarily Christians and thinking that this will not apply to them. So let me just say, we can look at etiquette from a biblical perspective. So no matter what your faith is, it will apply to you as well. And just like you were saying, just how we interact with each other and just being kind. Kindness, of course, is a fruit of the Spirit.
Certainly.
And everybody has it, you know, and we don't know if they have it or not until they actually demonstrate it, but we know that they are carrying that because that is certainly, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit. But I would like to go to this. This is a very interesting email. It says, Etiquette Lady, what do you think of people who have a wonderful, high praise, and powerful worship experience, and when the service is over, you speak to them, and they don't even speak back to you? By the way, this person is a deacon, and this is signed, A Confused New Christian. So I'm going to let you take that, Reverend Crawford.
All right. Well, if you speak to someone and they don't speak back, it could be two reasons. Three reasons. They may not have heard you. They could be preoccupied. And sometimes they can be very, very much engaged in thought or deep thought, or you know, have their mind somewhere else. They may be on a mission to do something, and they are single-minded and not necessarily have an ought against the person or disdain, or it's not that the person that they have, who is speaking to them, does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
I have been through that situation at times personally where people say, well, I was trying to speak to you. And I said, well, I'm so sorry. I had my mind somewhere else, and I was on another mission that had to be dealt with right away. And it was not a put-down or a put-off. It was just that sometimes my priorities keep me so focused that it's not a matter of the heart but of the head. And I think that the responsibility then goes to the person who feels they have been shunned to go back to that person and make them aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't be confused about human frailty, but about mm-hmm. divine spirituality. And that means that you can oftentimes not hear someone,
mm-hmm.
or you might be so focused you don't hear them and give them the attention that they need at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But given the second opportunity, I'm sure if it were a deacon, they would go back and straighten that out. And it's still on the onus of a person to do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
If I felt someone shunned me, I would then make it my business to speak to that person again. Say, I tried to speak with you, they maybe you were preoccupied, but I didn't want to say hello. And then you would be surprised to find out that they were not nearly as inconsiderate as you may have first thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because oftentimes when that happens, and, you know, for example, they may not have heard us, and then we go to someone else and we say, well, I spoke to Deacon so-and-so, and they didn't even speak back. What do you think about that? And then, of course, you know what begins at that point. Then you have just, you know, a little gossip experience. So I'm glad.
And not only that, it's just inaccurate information.
Mm-hmm.
It leaves the gossip arena, and then it becomes a half-truth, which is an untruth, because the person made it to just ignore you. They just didn't speak at that moment. And I think everyone can say at one time in their life they may have been involved or engaged and they didn't hear someone, or didn't give that person attention because they had something more pressing on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often true of adults as well as children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I like the comment there you just made about a half-truth is an untruth. I like that. That's very interesting.
Well, half-truths are floating around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting on the end of a conversation and you don't know what preceded it or mm-hmm. how it started. Sometimes hand gestures can be made or facial contortions can be given where people can think that you're expressing disdain or anguish when you might be just a misunderstanding or shock or You can't read a person's heart by looking at their face.
And I'm sure this cleared this up, and I was real concerned because the way it was signed, a confused new Christian, and oftentimes, you know, when you are a new Christian and you're still learning, of course, we're all still learning, we're all still a work in progress, but especially when you're new, these can be the type of things that can be a turnoff, and it may not really have, you know, as you had mentioned, it may not have been just the case of them being ignored, because most people think when that happens, oh, you know, they ignored me, or are they too cute to speak, or, you know, they too holier than thou, because you hear all those types of things. So,
I will just say this if I can. Deacons are a work in progress as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not to judge others too harshly unless we be judged harshly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to put ourselves in that other person's shoes. I think that oftentimes we forget that deacons are also human. They do make mistakes, but they don't intentionally go out of their way to hurt or harm people by their lack of attention or inattention. And I think we would like the same to be said about ourselves.
And here again is the golden rule in action once again. And it just applies to everything. It really applies to everything.
It applies to everyone as well.
Absolutely. And people have to remember that, you know, treat, and I know when I'm working with children, I try to stress this a few times, treat others the way you want to be treated, not necessarily the way, you know, someone treated you.
And that's very critical. That is so key, because there has been a lot of people who have had mistreatment and abuse coming up, and therefore they may not know the proper way to treat others simply because that's the way they have been treated. That's one reason why learning how we ought to respond and react to others is so critical. The Bible gives very clear instructions about how we ought to treat older people, for instance. Paul's letter to his son, young son Timothy, for example, his first letter tells people and tells Timothy, even though Timothy was a young pastor, he told him, don't rebuke an older person harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father, and hoping that he had been raised by a good father, there's still a level of respect that a father should receive. And I've often had this conversation with younger people who have had experiences that were not so good with their mother and their father. And they've often said, well, why does the Bible say, honor thy father and thy mother? And I said, the reason that I think that word is there, give honor to your mother and father, because that's the first, what I would say, commandment that has a promise attached to it, which promises long life. Many days. And the reason being is that though our parents are human and make mistakes, most of them do the very best they can, so they deserve our honor and respect. It's not a matter of them being perfect, but the fact that they deserve honor for what they've had to deal with and just trying to do some on-the-job training and rearing children when there's no resources, probably plenty of times none have had resources or proper training themselves. So the Bible gives us the word to honor them, which means show respect, give them the proper place of respect.
And that is certainly very, very key, because none of us, you know, come with a manual. You know, when you're in the hospital and you have a baby, they send you out with a little bag, you know how they have a little new baby bag, and you might have a few diapers in it and a few bottles. But as far as a handbook, here's your handbook that you're going to need for the next 18 years.
Well, you know, all children come with a mixture of DNA as well. They have DNA from two particular distinct individuals, and that makes them a totally distinct individual. There's none like them. So whatever manual you have, it will have to be very flexible in order to deal with that particular individual as a unique person. And therefore, the experiences that that you go through and that child goes through may be totally different from what you go through with another child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that we honor the fact that we are all uniquely and wonderfully made. And as such, we ought to treat one another as such, that we are uniquely made. Treat our younger men as brothers, treat our older women as mothers, and treat our younger women as sisters,
mm-hmm.
with absolute purity. And that means to really be clear about how we look at them, not through, you know, we want people to look at us through rose-colored glasses, but we look at other people through magnified
mm-hmm.
glasses mm-hmm. or lenses, and that's not doing unto others as we would have them do unto us.
That's right. And you know, in my opinion, no matter how rude people are to you, there is never a reason to be rude. You know, there's never an excuse to be rude to someone else. And a lot of times, you know, people will say, well, look, I was nice to them for, you know, I don't know how many months, and then they're still just really mean and so on and so forth. And I can't help but to think one of my favorite scriptures, which comes from Proverbs 3:3, and it talks about kindness. Never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. And that is just one of my favorite scriptures, especially because you're going to deal with people that are going to be hard to deal with. And
that's so critical in this day and time,
mm-hmm.
when we have such an uncertain forecast in terms of where things are headed, what's been going on. And we must always remember that we don't let people drag us to the lower standard,
mm-hmm.
but we should always stay at the high standard. And irrespective of how long we've had to do it, when even Jesus was questioned about how many times should we forgive,
mm-hmm.
They thought it would be enough to say, well, we know if we do it 3 times, it's good, but what about 7? And Jesus stressed his prayer, said, no, 70 times 7. In other words, we are to keep on forgiving. We are never to gravitate to the lower areas of how people act. And because we've treated people kindly, we don't have a reason, or why should we go down to that level when we should just stay at the high level of the ideal of being Christ-like,
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And always put our best self forward.
That's right. Now, I have I just received another email. It says, Etiquette Lady and Reverend Crawford,
yes.
Last Sunday in our service, God really moved and the worship experience was awesome. One person was really moved by the Spirit as she was speaking in tongues and even crying. I heard this same person telling someone off less than 10 minutes after service was over. What causes one to act this way? Was their experience real or was it for show? And Diana from Gainesville, Georgia.
Hmm. Well, there we go again with the fact that we, as human beings, we can go from one high experience to a very low experience. We can observe people at one height, and whether they were crying or speaking in tongues or whatever they were doing in a spiritual environment, you have to remember there is an enemy whose determination, and in fact their job description, is to steal, kill, and to destroy the Christian,
mm-hmm.
especially their testimony. And whether you're observing that person or not, or judging whether the experience was real, what was the experience of the person who witnessed it? That would be my question. What was your experience instead of the judging of that person, but what created that? And also, if that was an immature Christian, it didn't have to be a mature Christian or immature. It's the fact that we still have frailties as human beings, where we can be emotionally high 1 minute and happy and joyful in the Lord, and at the next few minutes be attacked or under attack or being used to attack someone else's character or their position on a certain subject. And we don't know all the facts of the situation. So I would say that I wouldn't judge their experience, but I would try not to pattern myself after that in terms of my behavior.
Right, because, of course, you know, we don't want to say that that behavior is acceptable.
No.
At the same time, like you're saying, what was the, you know, experience of the other person? But here again, I think we can find ourselves in any given situation very quickly in a judgmental state. And
of course.
That is the, go right ahead.
Thought is the easiest thing to find in the church or in any other environment. Fault. We can find fault with a person who's singing, a person who's not singing, a person who's praising the Lord, a person who's not praising the Lord, the way we do it versus the way someone else does it. We can find fault, but are we without fault? No. I think we all have some areas where we can shore up our own faults. And as one songwriter said, God looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And oftentimes we have to look beyond people's faults to see their real need. And that will help us to not only alleviate their faults, but help us with our own.
Sure. Because like you said, oftentimes we want people to look at us with rose-colored glasses, but to look at others with through a magnifier, which is very true. And I even to that, I had an experience where for years and years I would have a friend of mine would always tell me that you need to take your rose-colored glasses off because everybody is not, you know, into treating other people like they want to be treated. So, and I just, I really had, and I still do, you know, kind of have a problem with that because, you know, I just assume that everybody's trying to live by the golden rule. You know, of course, quite naturally, I try to preach and ask everybody to, but she, and then there were just several situations where, you know, oftentimes you can get taken advantage of and just all different types of things because of being very nice. And she used to say, you need to take off your rose-colored glasses when you look at everybody. You need to stop. And, you know, it's very hard. And I've really had to pray about this, you know, Lord, to give me discernment of, you know, whom I really should interact with and who I should not. So, you know, it's gotten to that point, but it's still a work in progress. But it's really interesting because I would look at everybody like they're just great and they don't mean any harm. And then I can also say, too, that I try to separate and say if someone is acting, you know, with rude behavior or just nasty, you know, I try to separate that is actually, that's not them, that's a spirit. And so that would help me as well.
There is calls for a lot of actions. And many times we don't know whether it's coming from pain or somewhere else in a person's life. And they may be reacting to that when we see them. And Paul's letter to the church of Philippi, while he was incarcerated, he wrote that we should let our gentleness be evident to everyone. But he also told some things to think about, and that's critical to what you say. You want to think the best about everyone. You can, you know, find something good to think about. And also you have to have discernment, and you also have to recognize that God will give you understanding that will help you. And God will give you peace that even transcends your understanding, that will also guard your heart and your mind from being confused and attacked by the actions or inactions of people.
I hate to interrupt you. I can't believe we're out of time. Oh, my goodness. Gosh, let me thank you so much for your insight, and I'm sure that the, you know, the questions that were posed, they did receive answers, and boy, time just flies when you're having fun. Thank you all so much for listening. As I remind you every week, please feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best that you can be. Thanks again for tuning in to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We will not have a show on next week. My goddaughter is going to be producing an event, and I have to be at this event with her. But we will be back in 2 weeks on Sunday, 7:30. Thanks again. Good night to you all, and God bless.